Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the KT Temple Real Estate Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Kent Temple. I guess we should give him the title of Chief Research Officer because, man, he's doing a lot of the work I didn't want to do. So this is making it a lot easier. So what's up, man? Good morning.
Well, the cool thing is, you know, we were talking about this, about how easy this is for us to have a conversation because I'm not doing anything different. You know, my job in my world is to keep everybody around me informed. I heard Gary Keller said one of my favorite quotes. If Gary Keller says very little that applies to me because he's so much smarter than I am. But he actually said, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm just the most informed. And so that's what I try to be is just the most informed.
Yeah. So we've got some articles today we're going to look at. The first one that I want to talk, and it's just because I'm sure if you know me at all, you know that I am just the office nerd anywhere I go. And part of that is just looking at what's happening in the tech industry and how it affects the agents. And right now, there's a lot of stuff going on with Twitter. Basically, Elon Musk has gotten in there and just completely flipped an entire company on its head. And what happens when you do something like that, I somewhat understand what he's trying to do. At the same time, not really. But part of what he's done is he's disrupted his teams. And so if you have worked at a real estate brokerage, if you've worked in a big real estate team, you know when just a chunk of your people are gone, a hole is left. You know, there's stuff that people were doing that you have no idea how to fix, where the people are gone. All your information to that is gone. And one of the big teams that has been disrupted is his security team. Everybody who was making sure that, you know, all your information was safe. That's one of the big teams. I think it's the chief security officer. He's gone. You know, the person in charge of security for this company is gone. So for an agent right now, and this is just a big disclaimer, go change your passwords. Go have the people on your team go change your passwords. If they were breached or something and somebody got your DocuSign access, your .loop access, you know, your client's information could be in trouble. So this is just something I'm trying to reach out to people, making sure a lot of agents, they're not the most tech savvy people. I get it. That's fine. You didn't sign up to be a tech person. But as far as keeping your client's information safe, now's a really good time to just go in, change your passwords, get everything updated. I can't stress it enough. And you should put a reminder in your calendar. Do it about every 8 months to a year. It's a good time to go do that.
You know, KT, one thing, I want to go a little different direction with what you're saying there. And I get, you know, your client's information is the most important thing. But the other thing is, you know, what if somebody got my Twitter account and they posted something? I mean, it is so hard to wipe that out. If they posted something and you know, pick a group. If all of a sudden Kent Temple's posting against this particular group, something that's not politically correct, it's hard to scrub that away by saying, hey, it wasn't me. And I would hate for that to happen. Fortunately, as you know, if I tweet anything, somebody tweeted it for me. So, but I like to know who's tweeting it for me. I don't want some random person doing it.
That's always fun on my birthday on Facebook that Kent Temple wishes me happy birthday. And I always get to go on that comment and be like, I know you're not my dad. And now everybody else is confused. So, yeah. Awesome, guys. So yeah, just a quick update there. Just
get those. KT, one more thing about it.
Yeah.
You know, real estate agents are not great business people lots of times because for most of us, we don't have an MBA and most of us, we never owned a business. We're going to real estate. So I just want to give you a business thought. You know, twice in my career, I've gone into real estate brokerages that were not doing well. And it was my job to turn them around. And both times I've been able to do that. But one rule that I kept is no staff changes for 90 days. And don't make assumptions on when you're looking at stuff. Go in and figure out. And he didn't do that, man. He walked in day one and just started axing people. And Casey, if it was anybody but him, I'd be telling everybody that Twitter's going to fail. I mean, you're looking at what he's doing and it's like, but everything he touches tends to turn to gold. And I don't think he spent, what, $54 billion on something to run into the ground. So he's got a plan that probably is just too big for us to understand. But that's just, to me, that's a good rule of thumb, is don't go in and make big changes. Go in with an open mind and see what you should keep and what needs to be changed.
Yeah. I mean, there's most of the stuff he touches, though, he made himself. This is one of the first times where he's walking into something that somebody else made. And now he's got to take care of it. And social media, man, that's a hard, weird thing to take over, because you're not creating the product. In Tesla, he's creating the product. In SpaceX, he creates the product. Social media is weird, where you don't make your product. You make the platform for other people to make the product. So it's an animal, man. It's tough. But so let's keep going. I just wanted to get that out of the way for everybody, just because I think it's important. So first thing I got here, again, guys, we're going to keep diving into home prices probably every week going forward. They're fluctuating so much. There's so much news with it that we just think it's important for you guys to understand, so you can be having the right conversations with your clients right now. I've got the Morning Brew up. Morning Brew, awesome little email. It's an email news that they do. What is it, every morning that they send
every
it out?
Day. Yeah.
And has some great information. And I've got the real estate section up here. And the highlight of this one is, investors want nothing to do with the housing market. It's good news for a lot of people, especially like in my age range, who are getting priced out of the home market. You know, you're looking for a house. There's not a lot of inventory in that first time home buyer market. And it's because of these investors have taken so much of it. So latest sign, home sales to investors plunged 30% annually in the third quarter. It shows how the unfriendly market conditions that have pushed regular buyers out of real estate are also scaring off buyers with deep pockets.
Well, and Casey, when I said yay, I want to be very clear. I'm saying yay that the institutional investors are not in there. Yeah, one of my best buddies, Jason Oliphant. Yeah, I think we're at like 26 houses that he's used me as his realtor for. I'm not talking about Jason, the guy that goes out and does one, two, or three. Those are great. Those are great clients to have. Good business. It's the institutional investors. Here's just the fact, and you can look this up, but in North Carolina in 2021, 16% of all houses were bought by institutional investors. So that's houses that didn't get to people like you. Now, KT, here's how it's going to affect you and your group. Is it's not like in every county in North Carolina, 16%. It was concentrated in places like the last two places you lived, Charlotte and Raleigh, the big metropolitan places. And in Charlotte and Raleigh, it was over 30% of all homes that were purchased were by institutional investors. So if they're getting out of the market, I'm good with it. My theory has always been that the institutional investors affect us short term because they take houses away from our clients. In the long term, I don't think it's a big effect, because we still have the same rate of home ownership that we've had for decades, which is 65 to 67%. The thought is eventually institutional investors will start selling off these houses. There will come a time when it makes sense for them to sell. The question then, KT, is going to be, do they sell a house and buy a house, or do they sell a house and buy a widget? And that's going to be the big unknown going forward. But man, if there's anything good about interest rates going up, is getting those guys out of the market and giving first-time home buyers a better shot at it.
Do you think that there will ever be regulation for this? Because you look at countries, you know, like countries like China, countries like Canada, I mean, right beside us, they don't allow this. You know, this isn't a normal thing, it seems like, for a lot of countries. And I get, you know, that there's a lot of things that come up with that, you know, like, why should we not let people do this? But at the same time, it really does hurt the market in a lot of ways when we let companies just mass buy out the number one way for people to build wealth within a country, when we just let a few companies do it instead of making it an opportunity for all.
Well, you know, we kind of operate on a free market system.
Yeah.
My guess is that it won't get regulated. I just don't know how you would do that. the thing is, housing KT was just so affordable because interest rates have been so low. And so the affordability was so high. Institutional investors saw it as a great investment. It's not a great investment now.
Yeah.
Because prices are so high, interest rates are high. They're not going to make the kind of returns that they can do. I think institutional investors are probably here to stay. I don't think they'll ever buy like they did before again. Because I just don't think
it seemed like a test almost. Like you could see a lot of companies testing it. I mean, think how quickly Zillow came out with theirs and then completely ditched it. Like they were sampling the business strategy of it, and it just doesn't seem like it worked. Hopefully, but you know.
Well, when you talk about companies like that, people that are going to flip houses, you're always at risk. You know that there's buy and hold. You always make money. There's never been anybody that's held a house for 10 years has never lost money. It's just that's the history of it. Anytime you're buying and flipping, and I think companies like Zillow and Open Door that had this plan, the only way their plan works is if prices are still going up. And man, as soon as things flatten or start going down, you get stuck with whatever inventory you had. And that's where I think Zillow probably saw where the market was going. They got out first. I know some of them that didn't get out, man, they're struggling right now. They're losing a lot of money because they can't turn the houses as fast, and they're not making profit. They're losing money on up to half of the houses that they're selling.
Yeah. So
anybody can be a genius when the market's going up, I guess is the best
right?
way to put it. Yeah.
So just to zoom out on that, they don't expect investors to ride the bench for long. Earlier this month, JP Morgan announced a joint venture with Haven Realty Capital to purchase $1 billion in houses. I mean,
They're still there. But you know, KT, and again, I'll probably say this three times during today's podcast. Real estate is still local. So if you're in a major city, institutional investors are a big deal. If you're in not a metropolitan area, or if you're in a second home area, it's not as big a deal. Now, if you're in a second home area, you got a different thing to deal with, and that's your investors that are gobbling up homes as vacation rentals. And putting them out there. Now, you want to talk about regulation. That's where you're going to start seeing regulation. It's not going to be from the government, though. It's going to be from HOAs.
Yeah.
And it's going to be from towns. They're going to start limiting. There's a lot of places that will try to put a cap on the number of vacation rentals or if you can even do them. For example, I don't own a vacation rental. If I did own one, it would be a condo in downtown Charlotte because I love to go to downtown Charlotte. You know, we're Panther season ticket holders. I'd love to have a place I could block out and go down there and stay. The thing is, there's not a condo in downtown Charlotte that allows VRBO. So it makes no sense for me to do it if I couldn't do the short-term rentals on it. I'm better off just, you know, staying at a nice hotel, you know, when I want to go down.
Yeah. You can just buy me a condo down there. I'll go stay there and, you know, make sure you got a room available.
Okay, T, you're breaking up. I hope you might have to start over. It's getting real staticky. I couldn't hear you.
So next article is by Jim Probasco at bankrate.com. Inflation in the housing market, coping with home prices is the name of this. In October, the consumer price index rose 0.4%, the same increase as September. Over the last 12 months, the all-item CPI increased 7.7%. Not only is this less than what most economists had expected, it's the smallest year-over-year increase since January 2022. So some really good news here that it's just slowed down a little bit. It's still going up, but it's slowed down.
Yeah, and this is good news, but it's not great news because 7.7 is still unsustainable. But it is good news in that, so off of this, the Fed has pretty much said that the next time they raise rates, it won't be 0.75 again. That's kind of what's come out of this. By the way, as soon as it came out below, I think the expectation was 7.9, can be 7.7. It doesn't sound like a big deal. It was a big enough deal that the stock market made a big rally immediately just on that little bit of good news. And now KT, we're back in. You know, every month we get these earnings reports that come out. Most of the earnings reports are pretty strong. It's a double-edged sword. That's going down, but as long as people are spending a lot of money, the Fed's going to continue to try to stamp this down and get inflation under control.
Yeah, the article continued with nationally, home prices rose 11.4% year over year in September. While that represents a slowdown, it's still high by historical standards. And a persistent trend, both home buyers and sellers feel less optimistic about their prospects, according to Fannie Mae's last index. In fact, only 6% of people surveyed feel it's now a good time to buy a home. Those who believe now it's a good time to sell a home decreased sharply from 59 to 51% in October. So this is what your clients are feeling right now. When you're talking to people, have this in the back of your mind that they're shaky. I had some clients this past week who very abruptly, mid-negotiations, decided that it's not a good time to buy. Now, they had stuff going on, but this doesn't help when this is the sentiment of the news, of the feelings. This is where people are right now. So having somebody to script with, to talk through this with, will be really helpful, I think, at least for the next year.
Well, the fact of the matter, KT, is people, what you just read was a national headline. That's what people see. You've got to go in and you've got to be able to talk about your local market and how it differs from there. And KT, the fact of the matter is, it is always a good time to buy a house because historically prices go up. And you said it's the best for savings investment you can make. So you just need to know why they need to buy. And if you're in an area where prices have already gone down 20%, because there's places like that out in the Midwest, it's a good time to buy because prices are down 20%. You know, buy now, we'll refinance later. If you're in a place where we are, where prices haven't gone down, it's a good time to buy because there's a good chance that prices will continue to go up where we live. And if they do go down, it's going to be so minimal, it's pretty much going to be flat. But you've got to know that about your local market and what's happening right now and right now every day.
Yeah, we alluded to this earlier. It's, you're always at risk when you're buying for short term. You're never at risk. I say never. You're pretty much never at risk if you buy a property and keep it for 10 years. You're just safe. I think there was one time in the past 100 years where you could have purchased property, sit on it for 10 years and lost money. One time.
There actually, KT, there was one time that you broke even. If you bought a house in, I think it's 2001 and 2011.
Okay.
But the thing is, think about this, KT. Let's say you and I both got a new place in 2001. I bought a house and you rented a house. Okay. So I want you to think, okay, in 2011, I had to sell it for the same thing I bought it for, but look how much equity I built in those 10 years. And that's money in my pocket. And you rented and you built nothing.
Yep.
And you know, and especially now, most places, you can get a mortgage for what you could rent a house for. So why not go build that equity knowing that in 10 years, it's going to look a lot different?
Yeah, you're always paying somebody's mortgage. You just have to figure out if you're paying your mortgage or you're paying somebody else's mortgage.
That's right.
That's your two positions that you can be in. So will home prices fall? Some say 20% or more is possible. This is, again, from Bankrate.com. As the U.S. housing market continues to cool, a growing number of forecasters say homeowners could soon experience significant price declines. These analysts look at the record run-up in home prices during COVID pandemic and say a drop of 20% or more looms in the near future. Now, again, this is national news. Your local market's going to be different, but again, this is what's going out nationally. You need to compare this to your numbers locally and figure out how you're going to have these conversations.
Yeah, if you're in Boise, Idaho, that might be true. If you're in Las Vegas, Nevada, that might be true. The places like that where they had the biggest run-ups, you know, Casey, I always say we live in the South where all trends go to die. And I just don't see it happening in the Southern states like that. And especially not, you know, Casey, that is funny, the article that you're reading. What they didn't know then is that interest rates were going to fall 3 weeks in a row. And we've had the biggest drop in interest rates in like 20 years over the past 3 weeks. Now, people are still, you know, they're still a little over 6.5. It's not like they're back to the threes. But it's just kind of funny is, well, they'd said all this. And now here we are 3 weeks later and things have changed. And that's why You always have to be updated to be the economist of choice and know exactly what's going on today, or you could be giving people bad information.
Yeah, it's one of those markets where you really have to pay attention. You know, if you were an agent, if you became an agent in 2019 to the beginning of this year, you really didn't have to pay that much attention to the market. The market was pretty much the same for 2 to 3 years. I mean, we had that one little hiccup with COVID, but besides that, pretty consistent. Money was very cheap. You know, you didn't have to pay this much attention to get a deal done, I feel like. But now we've come into this new market where tensions are high, things are happening so quickly. You really need to pay attention to what the market is doing and how you're going to have these conversations with your clients to get these kind of deals through.
Yeah, it's just changed. You know, for the previous 3 years, you might have to write 15 contracts before you won. That was one thing. And maybe we're not in that market now, but you really have to advise people. One thing, KT, that we have started seeing again is some appraisal issues. We've had a couple things that didn't appraise here lately, because the appraisals just couldn't keep up. And all of a sudden, your days on market are getting longer and it's taking things longer to get into contracts. So just, you know, something to think about as you're working with people is, if we do this, is it going to appraise for that? And what's my backup plan if it doesn't?
So when we're having these conversations, I feel like a lot of them center around the average home buyer. You, as somebody who works a lot in the luxury market, when we talk about trends, we normally see trends start in the luxury market for the Charlotte area, at least. Are you noticing these kind of trends in that market too, or is there any difference?
Well, a couple of things that we're definitely seeing: inventory is up in the luxury market. But the main reason for that is days on market has gone way up. So that's been the change. The number of homes being listed is not changing that much. It's really kind of flat in the luxury market. But if they're staying on the market longer, that creates inventory. And it's just been crazy, KT. You know, we're selling $1-3 million homes in a day, and that's not happening now. And it's kind of funny what I'm seeing. And we consider anything over 750 luxury. That's kind of the baseline. That 750 to 1-2 market is still really good. That bottom level of luxury, man, that's still really good. When you get above 1-2, it's not as good, and things are not going as fast. Because you have to remember, people say, well, if they're just paying cash for luxury, well, they care about interest rates. You know what? A lot of people, if you're paying cash for a house, I'm betting you probably got a lot of money invested somewhere. And I looked this morning, year to date, I think the NASDAQ's down 26% year to date. So you got 26% less money than you had at the beginning of the year. Yeah. So even if you're paying cash, you might not have as much cash and want to protect more cash. It affects interest rates affects everybody, whether you're borrowing or not.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, anything that we didn't talk about today that you wanted to chat about?
You know, it's interesting watching China right now. And that's just something that you and I are going to probably just keep talking about. Unprecedented demonstrations in China right now, yeah. Asking the president to, remember, you can go to prison for even saying anything about that. And people are demonstrating that Chinese economy is really suffering because of COVID lockdowns. But this is it's the fourth week in a row that China has set a record for COVID. So they're in a different spot than we are right now. And their whole deal of quarantining whole cities just doesn't seem to work. I'm not a doctor, but I have to think herd immunity that we talk about in our country, I don't think they saw it over there. So when COVID, when it gets somewhere, man, it just affects so many people. So the Chinese economy, man, is affecting us.
It's the same as right now when we see in America, the big flu outbreak right now. It's because we really haven't congregated with each other in 3 years. And I think a lot of people, they get the idea that America is almost siloed against, you know, the Eastern economy. Guys, they're all connected.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is a world economy. So not only is China having these big protests, which is not normal for their country. They're pretty against doing that, like my dad said. But they also had a big real estate collapse not too long ago, like a huge thing that I haven't seen in the news at all in the past 2 weeks. I need to go back and research what's going on with that. But they had huge, huge residential buildings, and people were, you know, they got a mortgage for this building, their unit in that building, and before it was ever done being built, and then it was never finished. And that happened to a lot of people. Completely.
Well, they way, way overbuilt. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And those blips in the market, in that residential market, they affect everybody. So when you see that happening in another country, especially a first world country like China, you pay attention to it, because that can have ramifications in our neck of the woods. So cool, man. Anything else?
Well, I'll be a parent now. If you don't believe in getting vaccination shots, I'm okay with that. It's your choice. If you're okay with protecting yourself, this would be the year to get a flu shot. The flu is bad, bad, bad. So this would be the year to do it if you're okay with doing it. So I'm a parent.
Yeah,
I'm a parent,
good job.
I'll stop now.
Awesome, guys. Well, hey, remember to go follow our Facebook page, KT Temple Real Estate Podcast, and continue to submit. We've gotten a few great submissions for the new name of the podcast. So send those over to us. You can email that to me at kt@templecoachingco.com. You can also follow Kent. He's on Facebook. He's not on Twitter, obviously. And if he comments on something, it's probably not him. But yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. You can go to our website if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate at thetempleteam.com. Kent, see you next week, man.
All right. Thanks, bud.